Yo, what up, guys? Welcome back to the Auditory Descent Podcast. It's Chris. I'm here. We're going to be talking about ICE, Christ, and utter chaos, because that's kind of what we've been living through. I wanted to talk about a mix of these subjects, and I haven't really thought of a good way to do it, so I figured why not just kind of make a not quite clickbait, but very much, straight to the point, straightforward, short solo podcast on a lot of these subjects that I've been kind of stewing on. I've been thinking about, what I want to say and what the things, that I think are important to mention without just being overly pedantic and talking in circles. But since I think September, but definitely before that, things have been crazy with Charlie Kirk and, the immigration and customs enforcement stuff. It's been weird because, again, when Trump was elected, I am thinking back and I remember numerous times, the argument and the discussion being framed around, well, obviously we want to get rid of criminals first. Obviously we want to get rid of rapists and violent people first. But I think, the current state of like the ICE operations and the raiding of Home Depots and, the human impact this is having on a lot of different people, I think it's obvious that even the people who got what they wanted are not necessarily, getting what they wanted, so to speak. And I'm going to talk about like immigration and capitalism and all that type of stuff in its own podcast, because I do have my own opinions on immigration, but without being too pedantic or I'm going to be terse and just say that immigration doesn't hurt the average individual American in the sense that it doesn't depress their wages, unless you're doing H-1B visa weird nonsense, like we'll talk about that in the other podcast. But in a vacuum, in a capitalist society, you would have immigration. You would have people be able to freely move between countries and there wouldn't be, strict protectionism against, immigration, which seems such a weird thing. I think a lot of the people that are coming to America are not coming with the intention to live here and build a family and do these things. They're here because their economic opportunities are better here than wherever they are. But that's not the point of America. The point of America is not to tell people why they're here and tell people what to do and be authoritarian. The point is to let people be free, and people will inevitably find where they want to stay. If they want to stay in America and they want to have a business and have a family and raise kids here, then that's fine. Obviously, if you come to America with anything other than good intentions, no, I don't think you should be allowed to, permanently just live here, tax-free, just doing whatever you want. We have many, many Americans who need help, genuinely need help, need, opportunities. So yeah, no, I don't think we should be extending those to immigrants that don't, quite frankly, deserve them. But on the other hand, there are a lot of Americans sitting around doing a whole lot of nothing. So the idea that, immigrants are somehow fucking angels and, every single American is being robbed anytime a Mexican steps across the border, every time an Ecuadorian steps across the border, that's just not true. It's not true. Every single lawn company guy, a guy that starts his lawn company, he hires a bunch of people. That's making opportunities for other individuals in a free society. So, no, the world is not a zero-sum game. Capitalism is good. I'm not going to, go through all the normal arguments that I have to when I'm talking about socialists, talking to socialist people. But really, the policy critique that I have of the ICE raids and all this stuff is it's just misdirected. It's not going after the MS-13 gangs. It's not going after the fucking whatever the Tren de Agua or whatever the fuck they're called. It really is going after the low-hanging fruit because that's what the state wants. The state wants low-hanging fruit. They don't want people that are, going to put up a fight, so to speak. And the reason I put Christ in the title as well is because I wanted to talk about, the return to religion. There's been a large, especially since Charlie Kirk was murdered, but I'd say, there's been a large movement and a public movement to talk about religion and spread religion and talk about Christ and talk about Jesus and talk about all this stuff. And I think this probably won't be the bigger bullet point of the podcast, but I think altruism, the idea that other people's life are more important than you and, what's that quote? No love. There's no love like laying down one's life for another. It's like, you could live for another. There's love like that, living and living a good life, living a good, properly defined, rational life is better for the people around you than just laying down on a hand grenade. But I think part of the reason why we have this struggle between individualism and collectivism in America is because of religion. It's because of the, you know, conflicting values. You know, the part of us as an American, you know, we want to make money, we want to provide for our family, we want to do these things. But the other part of us, you know, the religious, the biblical part of us is telling us, you know, oh no, it's harder for the rich man to pass through the, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle and all that stuff. So, you know, it is my political and philosophical estimation that, you know, objectivist and individualist values are the ones for, are the ones that drove America forward, and there are the ones that are going to bring America back to where we need to go. And I think returning to Christ and returning to religion and returning to, in many ways, you know, a backward, upside down view of reality is that we get the welfare state. We get, you know, the pushback against the efforts to hinder the state and to you know, roll back the state and really renew the, you know, capitalist ideals that made America successful in the first place. It's really in spite of many of the religious ideas that we have that we're able to have the success that we have. And part of it, or not even part of it, a lot of it is due to the fact that we have separation of church and religion, and we at least for now, have the government not making opinions or not having opinions on religion. So that's that. And then obviously the welfare state is part and parcel with religion. It's part and parcel with, you know, accepting you are your brother's keeper. Well, I reject that wholly. I reject the idea that I'm my brother's keeper because I can't possibly be my brother's keeper and my own keeper. And so, yeah, so that's really just the religion part of it. I think the trend of returning to religion is just like every other trend. It comes and it goes and people will get tired of it and they'll move on. As a society, I don't know if most people are becoming more religious or if people that are religious are just becoming more open about it. I think it could be a combination of both, but I think the philosophical and the ideas matter, right? The ideas of a society matter. And I think our ideas have been sick. Our ideas have been poisoned. And that's not just me saying that. That's really just the truth. It's, you know, people have, and rightfully so, people have an issue with contradictory values. And you can't live in contradiction. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was really just the chaos of the political situation in America. The Trump regime and the Trump administration kind of has been a disaster. I don't think a lot of the MAGA people got what they wanted. I know certainly a lot of the people on the left, you know, aren't getting what they wanted, and they're getting their licks. I think it's just it's odd to me that there is a movement towards the foreign conflicts and, like, for example, the interventions in Venezuela. You know, it's clear to me that the drug war has, we've lost the drug war. Blowing up these boats is a fucking, it is a war crime. You know, it is a crime against humanity. I don't know why these people have been killed on these boats without an act of Congress, without some sort of, like, you know, collective, at least some sort of democratic action. I don't think it's clear to anybody why we're so invested in Venezuela, if for no other reason than just natural resources and oil and heavy metals and whatnot. And I think that this foreign interaction or foreign intervention, and many others are really just examples of creating instability in the economy, creating instability politically in America, creating, you know, uncertainty in the markets. And it doesn't do any good to stop any fucking, you know, fentanyl or cocaine or whatever it is that they're hauling on these boats. To me, it's kind of sad in a way, because I think a lot of people saw Trump as like a businessman who was going to do the right thing and was going to go out of his way to make America great again. And it's kind of sad that we not only got a worse version of America, but we got a more statist version of America. We got a more, Captain Save-A-Ho version of America, because for like, you know, for lack of a better term, it's we had decided we're the policemen of the United States or of the world. And in many ways, I don't think the United States needs to be the policemen of the world. And it would be, it would serve our interests more to just promote and support and help the people that embody our values. And, you know, in many ways, El Salvador is a blueprint for what, you know, grassroots political change looks like. Now, there's, you know, an argument to be made about how you move forward from the type of situation that El Salvador is in. And obviously, America is not in the situation that El Salvador was in. We don't have the murder rate, you know, at the top of the charts. But we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of statism. We have a lot of issues. We have a lot of corruption. We have a lot of, you know, money that's disappearing. And while I do think Trump has made, you know, steps in the right direction, I think he's probably made 5-10 steps back in other ways. And part of my criticism of Trump also is just, you know, the tariffs, the protectionism, the lack of a ability to just deregulate. You know, it doesn't seem like anything's really gotten deregulated. And if you guys are, if you guys have any examples of things that you think got deregulated, leave them in the comments. I'm interested. If you guys are on Spotify or YouTube, you can leave a comment down below and let me know what you think. But I think the political implications of Trump is bad in the sense that when you project forward and you start thinking about what, you know, what solutions are there to these problems that we have, it's not clear to me that the solution is going to be some other guy is going to step into power, have all the same tools at his disposal that Trump did, and he's not going to do all the same things. Regardless of whether he has an R or a D by his name, we need to understand that the state wants to preserve the state. The average American hasn't been in a good, you know, hasn't been financially in a good way in a long time. And part of that is because of the welfare. Part of that is because of the free stuff. Part of that is because the promises that things are going to get better based on what? Kicking out the immigrants, based on what? The tariffs, based on what? You know, creating any number of ways that our lives have become harder. It's not gotten better. I don't want to say nothing's gotten better under Trump, but very few things have gotten better under Trump. And that's not a trend that has to do with Trump insofar as, you know, it was going to happen. It was going to happen regardless who was the president. And I'm convinced of this. Unless we have a grassroots, you know, a movement from the bottom up, there's not going to be massive, massive change because there's not a will for massive political change. Many of the people that lied to us, you know, all throughout my childhood, all throughout, you know, the GWAT, all those people are still in power. A lot of those people are still in power, and the American people doesn't have any will to take them out and tar and feather them. So with that being said, it's not clear to me what the solutions are. And on the 5th of November, this past November, you know, last month, I watched V for Vendetta because it was the 5th of November. It's, you know, as you do. And I was thinking about, you know, the contrast between, or not even the contrast, because in a lot of ways there's an overlap. But in V for Vendetta, there is a lot of themes of revolutionary violence and, you know, this is a dystopian, you know, authoritarian state that V is essentially rebelling against. And if you haven't seen the movie, I won't spoil it, but it's a very, very good movie. And it's based on something that really did happen in history where they tried to blow up Parliament and there was a plot and all that stuff. And part of that was really based on religious, you know, Protestant versus Catholic and all that type of stuff. But V in the movie fights against a totalitarian regime that suppresses individual freedoms. And, you know, objectivism is really just about celebrating individual rights and rational self-interest. And I think Ayn Rand, while she talked about nonviolence as a, you know, as a means for getting what you want, she also understood that there comes a time where you can't be nonviolent anymore. And so obviously reason, persuasion, and nonviolence was what Ayn Rand really did. That's what, you know, she was a speaker. She was a, you know, she's a philosopher. I can say that word. But V is a revolutionary, and he, in his time and in this movie, he was put in a position where he had to do those things, and that was the only way that the world would grow. And I think in many ways, people think that we're in the V for Vendetta scenario when we're not. we are not in the V for Vendetta scenario. And that's kind of where I want to end this podcast, because I made the title Ice, Christ, and Utter Chaos to kind of get your attention. But ultimately, things aren't, you know, 10 times worse than they were 4 years ago. You know, aren't 10 times worse than they were 10 years ago. But things are not going to get better if we don't start making changes and we don't start waking up the people around us and helping the people around us understand that the politicians that are in power today, many of them have the same values and goals as they've always had, which was preserving the state, preserving their power, preserving their wealth, and doing whatever they can to, you know, ultimately, you know, break the will of the individual and break the individual American. I'm proud to say I'm an American, and I still say I'm proud to be an American, because we've been against far, far greater enemies than what we're dealing with today. And if I can leave you with anything, it's that there is, like, the good guys do win. The good guys do win, but if the good guys give up before the battle's over, we have no chance. So if you're listening to this podcast and you've listened to it all the way through, I really appreciate that. I want to implore you guys, if you know one person that's kind of like-minded in your circle of friends, you know, have a discussion with them. Talk about things that you don't agree with, or that you don't agree on, I should say. Find like-minded people and get to know them, and, you know, train with them, and go out and make yourself better, because the world itself has a tendency, and us as people, we have a tendency to conserve calories, to conserve energy, to conserve brain power. But this is not the time to preserve brain power. This is the time to start putting our running shoes on and getting to work. The Republic isn't going to save itself. And I am an individual, but what I also understand is that individual, like a group, is a group of individuals. Like, you can only be a member of a group by being an individual. And I'm not a collectivist, but I do understand that I have a responsibility to preserve my own and, by extension, others' freedom. I don't agree with a lot of the I have a lot of followers that say things I disagree with. I follow a lot of people that say things I disagree with. But if I'm not willing to advocate for somebody's right to say something that I disagree with, then we don't have a society. We don't have we don't have freedom. We don't have, you know, a rights respecting free society. We have an authoritarian, dictatorial, sad, dystopian, cringeworthy, you know, North Korea. And no one wants to live in that. And I think the last thing I want to leave you guys with, I keep saying I'm going to leave you guys with something, but the last thing I want to leave you guys with is that we take a lot of our values for granted: freedom of association, freedom of speech, the right to have religious opinions that differ from, you know, the status quo. And those still need defending, because there are people who would want to see those rights go away. There are people who want to see freedom of association go away. There are people who want to see freedom of speech go away. There are people who laugh and jump for joy and dance while a man gets murdered in the street at a lecture, at a debate. There are people that dance in the street when that happens. And so we have to do our part to say how we feel and say our opinions and put ourselves out there. Because if we don't, and the other side gets to say whatever they fucking want, they get to dance in the street when Charlie Kirk has blood still, you know, still with warmth from his fucking heartbeat. Like, we have to say our side. We have to say our part of the story. And it's on us to start saying it. It's on us to stop being silent. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got for you guys. This was the Auditory Dissent podcast. I didn't expect it to go on for damn near 20 minutes. I'm sorry that it went so long. Hopefully this was rational or not rational. Hopefully this was coherent. I don't usually do these in one take, but today I decided I would. Hopefully it was listenable. And if you guys haven't already, I have new merch on the store. I really need to sell shirts in order to keep the site going. So if you guys are, you know, if you can afford it, I would appreciate you guys grabbing a shirt, grabbing some stickers, grabbing maybe a patch. I have one patch left, so if you shoot me an Instagram message, I might still have a patch for you. That's all I got for you guys. Thank you for listening to the Auditory Dissent podcast. I have other episodes. Check out my episode with Sean, Mystery Boys Inc. Check out my episode with Black Sheep 302. I do actually do podcasts with guests. I just have been so busy. This year has kicked my ass. Yeah, stay free, stay dangerous. I'll see you guys in the next one.